We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is a wonderful Wednesday in Brevard County, Florida. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5, today's Modern Worship. So, are you ready to get this thing rolling in the right direction? Tonight, we are going to be having kids ministry. We are also going to have our adult Bible study. We had last Wednesday night, adult Bible study was off because of a kids out of school fun celebration. My daughters did a great job putting that together. There was a team competition, Infinity Wars. They tapped in and made some great props and some great food that tied in with the latest Avengers movie, and just a great time. And they're teaching the kids biblical truths. They're not just out there having fun and games, but they did an amazing job. And so you could check out on Facebook and see just a few of the things that they did. Made some incredible props. If nothing else happens for them in life, maybe they could go into prop making, because they did a phenomenal job with that, as well as their kids. So later on this month, we are going to be having a food auction for to raise money to send the kids to camp so that they can have a God encounter. We like for them to have a God encounter at church, but sometimes you need to get away from mom and dad and the friends at school, and you need to get away from the television and the cell phones and all of that sort of stuff, and say, you know what, God is going to be the priority this week. And so we're looking forward to what God is going to do in the lives of our kids in the coming days. So we're going to be in Psalm 143 today. Psalm 143. We got a few more broadcasts to deal with here on the blessing of persecution. This is a Psalm of David. I'm going to read the entire Psalm for you today. Some of the things we're going to talk about in this Psalm we have covered before, but some of the things we've touched on, but we haven't elaborated on because we were waiting for this passage of Scripture. Others we've touched on before in a pretty lengthy manner, and so when we come to them, we're just going to kind of hit those and move on. So Psalm 143, again, we're talking about steps for dealing with persecution. Verse number 1 of Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. Answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, in you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies, and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. So we've already talked about when you are in persecution, it is perfectly acceptable, it is perfectly fine, and it is the will of God for us to cry out to God. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and God has his ear tuned to your frequency. We've already talked about that. But I want to say this, I can never say this enough, and that is don't wait until you are going through a crisis before you cry out for help. Have prayer a vital part of your spiritual day, and you will find yourself in a lot fewer crises. It doesn't mean that you're not going to find yourself persecuted from time to time, but you are not going to find yourself in a snare of your own making as nearly as often as what it would be like if we go through our life prayerless. Okay? Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Okay? So the first step that we're going to talk about here is in verse number 2. It says, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. Now, I want you to know that God is the judge. There is a thing in the Bible called the Great White Throne Judgment, that where all of the souls of mankind who have rejected Jesus as their Lord and Savior are going to have to give an account. If you think that there is never a day of accounting, you are wrong. One of the passages of Scripture that gives me a great deal of pause, it's a very sobering thought, is we have to give an account for every idle word that proceeds from our mouth. For me, that one of the things that means is that I'm going to have to give an account for things that I speak that are not of God, that are not of faith. And I don't want those to be too many. I want that accounting, that time when I'm held in correction and in judgment for the things that I've done or said apart from God, I want that to be a very small segment of my life. I don't want that to be the body of work. So the best way that we can deal with judgment is to come and say, God, right now I want you to know something. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. That's what the sinner's prayer is all about. Many times we focus on the forgiveness, but we also have to realize that it is a confession. It is a confession that we are guilty of sinning against God. And every person that you ever meet, no matter how good, no matter how bad, each and every one of us will one day have to make that acknowledgement that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. And the only way to receive that forgiveness is to say, God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. One of the things that happens in court settings that I don't really understand the premise of is people who were caught in the act, there's video evidence, there are untold numbers of witnesses, there is all of the tangible physical evidence that support that they did what they were actually arrested for, and then they go into court and they plead not guilty. I don't understand that. I want you to know that I was a sinner. I was guilty. I lied. I stole. I cheated. I coveted. I hated. There were a lot of things that I'd done. And I finally had to come and say, hey, God, I'm guilty. And the soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. So that confession of that God is the judge, by coming now, I can come through my advocate, my attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's not there to plead my innocence. He is there to plead my guilt. But along with that, he says, Father, would you forgive them? Because I've already paid the price for their sin. I was innocent, but I paid the price for Bob Arthur's sin. And so if you're listening to this today, I want you to understand that this is not just about a get out of jail card for free or get out of hell card for free. This is saying, God, I was guilty, and I want to live differently going forth than I have heretofore. Would you please forgive me of my sins? And you know, after you have prayed that prayer, there are probably still going to be times where you miss the mark, you fall short of the goal. And when that happens, admit it. Just ask God to forgive you and ask him to help you to, by his grace, empowered by his grace, to live victoriously from that point forward. Now, there's another judgment that is coming. That's the Bema Seat of Christ. This is a judgment seat that is reserved for believers. And at that point in time, everything that we have done for God is going to be tried by fire. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble will be consumed, but those things which are gold and metal and precious stones, theirs are going to come shining forth gloriously for the praise and glory of God. And that's a day that I want to be a part of. And that's where I want the body of my work to be. And that's where the body of your work should want to be. So please understand, everybody's going to stand before the judge. What David is praying here is, God, don't judge me prematurely. Don't judge me by an unrighteous standard the way that the world judges. Okay? Here's the way that the world understands judgment and mercy. The world understands judgment and mercy for this way. Two people do extremely similar things. One of them is them and the other is a different person. When it is them and they have done something and it's horrible, it's detestable, it's abhorrent, it's a manifestation of the human nature at the highest level, they want to say, please give me mercy, be merciful. The world standard for the exact same act or an extremely similar act, when it is done by someone else or someone that they dislike, is, God, show them no mercy, have no mercy on them. And so there is an unrighteous standard. The Bible talks about that God frowns upon, is displeased with, and hated it when the children of Israel would use unrighteous standards. You see, everything used to be sold by weight, and so they would carry a fulcrum with them. They would carry this thing that you would see like on Justice is Blind, holding the scale in their hand. And so they would, if they were buying something that was supposed to be a talent, so they would pull out a rock that was a little bit heavier and than it was supposed to be. And they'd put that on one side, and then they'd weigh the grain on the other side of the fulcrum until it balanced out. And in reality, what they did is they got more than what they paid for. And then when they would go to sell it, they'd put their hand in the same bag, and they would grab out a lighter stone. And when they went to sell it, they sold the people less than what those people paid for. And so they created a margin in there, but they did it in a dishonest manner. And so we have a word for using an unrighteous standard in our society. It's called hypocrisy. It's where things are not done from an equivalent standpoint. It is things that are bad when another person does it, and it's good when we do it. You see it in politics all of the time. You can see political stances flip-flop depending upon whether it was your party or the other party that proposed something. So if the other party proposed something, you hated it. We see that all the time in party politics. I tell you what, I don't send people up there to represent a party. I sent them up there to represent us. Anyway, one day we're going to have to give an account. And so the psalmist here, David, he says, do not enter into your servant, for in your sight, no one living is righteous. And what he says is, God, if you judge me now by whether or not I'm a righteous human being or not, I'm going to come up short. Thank God that Jesus is our righteousness. Thank God for Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He is the only reason that we can pass the test. He's the only one that can deliver us from an eternity without God to an eternity with God. Second step, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. So many times persecution is aimed at the body, but the long-term or the mid-range target is the soul. This is the vitality. It is the very essence of your life. So in Revelation, you will find that people who do not accept the mark of the beast, that they are not permitted to buy or sell. They are persecuted. They are pursued. They are arrested and killed. They receive life sentences simply because they refuse to come under the dominion of the Antichrist that is mentioned there in Revelation. They refuse to operate by lawlessness. They refuse to have the mark on them physically. And so the result of that is they persecute them to punish them on a much more severe scale. They want to deprive them of the very essence of their life. You will find that physical persecution begins to affect people in their mind, their will, and their emotions. It affects the very nature of their life. I want you to understand that whenever the devil comes at you physically, you've got to realize that his target is much deeper. Jesus said, don't fear those who can touch the body, but fear those who the one who can send you into an eternity without God. That's the one that you really need to be holding in the highest esteem. You need to consider that person and say, that's the one that I really need to please. Too many times we are going after that which is the benefit for us in the here and the now. So it says, he has crushed my life to the ground. When I was in chemistry, we had a thing. It was called a mortar and a pestle. I believe that was what it was called. And the mortar was a little bowl, and a pestle was this hard thing that went down inside the bowl, and it was designed to pulverize whatever was inside that. Here, David says that the enemy has crushed my life to the ground. And I think that picture, if you want to picture it as the enemy wants to position you in a confined area where he can come and grind you to bits under the weight of his persecution and so remove you from the scene of vitality that nobody will even remember you ever existed. That's what the enemy game plan is for you. He hates you. He hates you whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. He hates you more if you are a Christian, because every time he looks at you, he is reminded of God, the God that he rebelled against, the God who removed him from heaven, the God he's never been able to vanquish. And so he's turned his attention upon us as born-again believers, because every time he sees us, he is reminded of his failures, and he's reminded of the ultimate triumph that Christ is going to have. You see, the devil still does not believe the word of God. He still is somehow deceiving him, his own self, to think that he's going to come out of this victorious. I believe it was Dante in the Inferno, where the words, and I could be wrong there, you know, if it's not the right reference, then congratulations, you will be able to look it up and say, oh, this is the right reference. Better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. That's not the reality. I've got news for you. The devil is never going to be the ruler that he thinks he is. Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it is, talks about how despised and ridiculed he is, even in the kingdom of darkness. So understand that the devil, through sin and through persecution, he wants to crush your life. He wants to extinguish the life out of your very being. Verse number 4 says, therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is distressed. So here we see that what starts with the body, what starts with the tangible, is designed to hit on the very core of our life, the very essence of our life, and it is also designed to touch on that which is eternal. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. Now, I want to tell you something, and that is, the scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. That means that your spirit is not meant to be overwhelmed. The Spirit of the Lord is supposed to show up on the scene into your spirit and raise you up as a standard. And there's an interpretation of that that I have come across through the years, which basically says this: when the enemy comes in, the Spirit of the Lord will break forth like a flood against him. That when the enemy comes in, if he comes in like a wave, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come against him like a tidal wave. Doesn't matter how intense, doesn't matter with how many resources, how large the army, how large the persecution, how devastating it is, the Spirit of the Lord is God the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come in. He wants to revive your spirit. And you are not meant to be spiritually overwhelmed. If you find yourself today spiritually overwhelmed, I want to let you know today that you have a Savior at the right hand of the Father who is interceding for you. You have God the Holy Spirit who is interceding for you with according to the perfect will of God, because it is not his will for you to be overwhelmed spiritually. It is God's will for the enemy to turn back and flee. If we will submit to God, then resist the devil will flee. The fourth point that I want to share with you today, and then tomorrow we'll get into some further steps, is in verse number 6. Well, let me read 5 and 6. We got a few minutes here. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. It is very important what we do with our mind. It is very important what we choose to remember. There are a lot of people who choose to remember the hurts that they have experienced, and they never really remember the hurts that they've inflicted. So when they go to project something that happened, they tend to portray themselves as victims, where they may have actually been the initiator of the process. You find headlines like that going on pretty frequently now. For many of these people, video has become something that they forgot about, because when the video surfaces, all of a sudden it shows that they weren't telling the truth, and now their credibility is undermined. What takes place in your mind is very important. I encourage you to fix your thoughts on Jesus. Remember what he has done. Remember the work that he has done for others. Remember the work that he has done for you. And then David says this, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. The enemy thinks that when he persecutes you, that you are going to turn your back on God. And the more intense the persecution, the more that you will not want to have anything to do with God. I want to remind you of what Peter said. There was a time when Jesus gave a very difficult teaching. I believe it was in John chapter 6. I'll turn over there just real quick and double check that. But there was a time when Jesus gave a very, very difficult teaching. And it is in John chapter 6. And it says in verse number 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When the enemy comes in to persecute you, he's trying to drive a wedge between you and God. But if you and I will remember, like Peter, that Jesus is the only source of eternal life. He has the words of eternal life. He is the Son of the living God. He is the stone which the builders rejected. He is the Messiah that has been validated and accepted by God the Father. So instead of allowing that persecution to drive a wedge between you and God, allow it to be motivation that drives us into the presence of God. You know, when pressure is applied to an object, that object has got to go someplace. And I pray that it will drive us deeper into a stabilized, maturing foundation with the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before. You have an advocate. So allow your soul to be longing for the Lord. Say every time something goes on, says, you know what? I'm going to cry out to him and I'm going to allow God to be the one that I cry unto. He's going to come. The devil might try and destroy your soul. He may try and destroy your spirit, but God is there to satisfy the thirst of a thirsty soul. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.